I have that PLA 2015. I bought it. I paid money. I'm going to hit buttons, and then you should be able to talk into the microphone.
What?
Would you like to talk into the microphone?
Are we broadcasting?
Yeah.
Oh. Hello.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, of course it is.
You should get a little closer. Let me move that a little closer to your face. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Is that comfortable for you?
Yeah.
It's not awkward?
That's probably a little bit better.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
A little directional microphone going on.
You do actually have some headphones. We only have like one set of headphones right now. We left a lot of equipment, sadly, in a warehouse in Maryland.
These things happen.
Such is life. Such is life. So, would you mind introducing yourself?
I'm Chaz, and they know me as the Tandem Stacker on PLA.
All right, all right.
I'm assuming we're going to be talking PLA stuff.
I would expect. The title is Phone Losers of America, Mildred Monday Strikes Back, Part 1 of the Cactus Expanded Universe. I have no idea what that means.
You've never listened to PLA?
Actually, I'm not very familiar with PLA. That is correct.
The Phone Losers of America and the Snowplow Show.
The Snowplow Show.
Snowplow. Okay. Why doesn't snow and plow rhyme?
No one knows.
We don't know.
It's probably because the English language is a weird...
It is weird.
Weird language.
Yes.
You're stealing our hybrid?
Yes, until Pop and social media panels
are. Okay. I guess that's all right. Yeah, sure. We don't have the phone to set it up. That's a question for Night Owl.
Night Owl's not here yet.
Yeah, I don't blame him. He was up very, very late.
Yeah, trying to get the Merlin phone system up and running.
Yeah, he did a good job. We have one that's up in the front, and we have a drop here to that, but we need like an actual phone, which is something that we're missing. We have a question from IRC. What is the question? People are complaining as to... They don't like it when I'm by myself. They're excited that you're here. They're like, oh, God.
What, does he ramble or something? What's wrong with
that? I tell shaggy dog stories, which they apparently don't appreciate.
There's nothing wrong with a shaggy dog story.
I know. That's my opinion. But then they're just like, oh, yeah. Nice joke, Dad.
Oh, boy. I can tell where your audience is at.
They're
going to love the Phone Losers.
I would expect.
You need to be a little intoxicated to truly appreciate the nuances of the level of prank calls they do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's see. Is this the first time at Hope? What kind of hackerspaces have you been to at your home state? Are they asking me?
I don't know.
Are they asking you?
This is my home state, and I've been to a number of conferences, and this is not my first Hope.
Yeah, I would expect not.
But
what was your first Hope?
The last Hope.
So the last Hope... The actual one that was titled The Last Hope.
No,
not
the, last
not the
event.
One. And the last event was
yeah,
your
2 years
first
ago.
So 2 years ago was your first.
I was going to 2600 meetings on Wednesdays up in Rochester, New York, where I was raised. And we had a number of busts, and it kind of gave me cold feet about coming to any of these events, knowing that they're tracking you and photographing you and everything else.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And 2 years ago... I got a certain age where I said, I don't care anymore. What are they going to do? So I started making up for lost time. I haven't gone to DEF CON yet. That's on the agenda. Not this year, possibly next year.
Yeah. I think Hope is really, it's a great con.
Hope is fantastic. Yeah. I'm actually on a panel later tonight with Tool. That's the Open Organization of Lockpickers.
Ah, all right.
Night Owls with that. And our alma mater. Click is in town.
Click came on the air last time. I'm glad that he's here.
Click is a wonderful gentleman. He moved out to Oregon,
really?
Which is a major change when you live in New York City.
Yeah, no kid. That was a crash.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't a Segway.
It probably was a Segway.
Probably was, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume your listeners realize that right next to us is a Segway track.
Actually, they might not be aware of that.
Well, at any moment here... Our walls, our fortress could be taken down, which is being held up literally by painter's tape.
Yes.
With a Segway crashing through. So if you hear a large crash.
And probably screaming.
And some screaming.
Yeah. if they come in, I'm dead.
That's the Segway coming through the wall.
Talking!
So if we don't have a phone, how is Brad going to dial in exactly?
Well, so my understanding... Would you like some Vegemite?
I'm just noticing. I've never seen single-size servings of Vegemite before.
Yeah.
So they make little They're like in a butter. It's in a butter type thing. Almost,
yeah.
Or
we were likening it to jelly that you have at diners.
Yeah. But it's this evil Vegemite.
Yeah.
Which
the Black Death.
Yeah, it is. Some people love it. I'd rather have a durian myself.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Over Vegemite any day, hands down. Yeah.
Oh man. So what was like your first 2600 meeting?
Kind of nervous. It was at the food court at the Marketplace Mall in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
I'd been reading 2600 magazine for quite a long time. I don't want to use the word hacker because it's not supposed to be used for negative connotations, but I was an explorer. I was a digital explorer back in the late 1970s, and that was back when we had X25 networks, time-sharing networks, and the only thing we could really dial into would be things like CompuServe and Prodigy. And back in those days, yeah, he's going over to Wikipedia to find out what these things were.
No. I'm going to go check and make sure that people on IRC aren't asking us questions.
Oh, that's a good... You should have it up on your screen there.
I should, but yeah. I don't...
We have a lot of things we should have. That's the way things happen.
Yeah.
And it was held at the food court at Marketplace Mall. And I'd had the magazine for a while. And went and picked it up when it came out. And... I'd pace around the outside of the food court looking for anyone that was suspicious, because I had just had a real shock in the early 80s when three of my friends were arrested and extradited to Arlington, Virginia to stand trial for a crime that there was no crime for. They didn't have any kind of hacking laws back then.
Yeah.
And they created something called electronic trespass just to go after this guy whose crime was using Telnet's mail system to keep in constant contact with his wife while he was in school. So you and I and everybody know that electronic mail is very inexpensive. Even in those days, it was inexpensive. And that's all he really was doing, was just using their email system to chat back and forth, because FidoNet took too long to get the messages back. And that was, of course, because long distance was too expensive, too. So... I had finally met up with some of the folks in Rochester. I cased the place and made sure that there wasn't going to be anybody there to jump on us and arrest us. And they turned out to be really nice people. And we talked about a lot of ham radio stuff back then. That was a big thing back then. Packet radio was in vogue at the time. Bulletin board systems. I ran a bulletin board system. I wrote the code myself. And those were the days pre-internet, when you got busy signals trying to dial in to a bulletin board system to download the latest software or images or check with people to see what's going on. Back in those days, most medium-sized cities would have about 20 to 30 bulletin board systems, and you'd have an email and an account on each one of those systems separately. If you wanted to get your mail, you had to dial up into 20 or 30 systems daily to get your mail, and that meant dealing with busy signals and everything else. It was just a pain in the neck. But that was the way it was back then. A lot of us look back with rose-colored glasses. Last night during setup, we were actually talking about setting up some dumb terminals at 300 baud with acoustic modems and setting up a bulletin board system to give some of these kids an idea.
Yeah.
One of the things that 2600 did at the Maker Faire last year out in Queens is they brought an old phone booth, like the real ones that you go inside of and close the door. And it had a rotary phone. And these kids nowadays don't even know how to dial a rotary phone. So that was kind of cool to do that. And doing a bulletin board system, I think, would be kind of fun too, just for hope. You know, set up your email. Don't even really want to call it email. That would confuse it.
Yeah.
But that could be fun. And from there, I moved around a few times. And in every town I lived in, I'd look up the 2600 get-togethers and I'd hang out with them. But that kind of dropped off for a while. And I started going again about 5 years ago. And I've been loving it. And I've been meeting some really fantastic people. If you've never been...
Yeah,
I strongly recommend just go for it. They're not scary people. Yes, we have odd personalities and odd senses of humor.
Sure, but I mean, it gives you a nice kind of diversity of opinion and personality that you might not be used to, and it's really kind of nice to see and experience that. But I've never been to a 2600 meeting where I felt that people were mean or unwelcoming.
Absolutely.
So I would definitely second to, if you have one that's local, go and do it. And if you don't have one that's local, you can always try to start one.
Yep. And just when you go there, observe. Listen. Yeah. There's a lot you can learn. And a lot of people, they go, some of the more expert people go to these things not to berate, but to teach.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that.
Yeah, anytime that you can learn something interesting or cool from somebody else, that's always a good opportunity to take.
Absolutely. And some of the technology that we talk about, as soon as you get a phone and we get Brad on the line, allows Brad to do the magic he does with the snowplow show, and that is spoofing ANI. ANI is your caller ID. Mm-hmm. And in order for him to effectively be able to do what he does, he has to make the person receiving the call see a different number than his own number. Preferably a number that's close to where the call is being placed or from their corporate office or something along those lines to give him a little bit of a leg up on the belief factor.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, it's really funny. These people are just socially engineered. One of their repeating pranks is doing the lunk alarms over at Planet Fitness. Now, if you haven't heard about these things, Planet Fitness is a gym.
Okay.
And they try to be a little bit more human and less of the I lift things up and I put them down kind of gyms.
Okay.
So whenever somebody makes a loud grunt or drops the weights in a stack and making a loud clank,
yeah,
they will set off this siren and flashing yellow lights called the lunk alarm, L-U-N-K, lunk.
Yeah.
And what Brad will do is he'll call up to a Planet Fitness. He'll get the front desk and say, hi, this is Roy from the corporate office for Planet Fitness, and we're calling to see if your lunk alarm is operating today. We haven't gotten any readings on our master server that has gone off in the past couple of days, and we think that it's malfunctioning. So we need you to reset that. So would you kindly just flip the switch, turn it on for 60 seconds? the lunk alarms are not designed to be operated for 60 seconds. They're kind of annoying. It's like a fire truck is inside the gym. And they're actually counting down 60 seconds. And the number of people that will actually fall for this and do it is just amazing.
I've requested somebody to go find Side Pocket.
Yeah.
Who's, I think, really supposed to be the master of ceremonies for phone losers. So we've talked about kind of how you got into 2600, how did you get into Phone Losers of America?
Well, it's really difficult to say exactly because I used to be a freaker.
Okay, but as one would expect.
And back in all the Baltimore system numbers were busy, you could always play with the phone. And you could always do really cool things on the phone back then, even if it was just picking up the phone and manually war dialing 800 numbers to see what's out there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff we did back then. We were really bored. We didn't have the internet, hello. And that's where the freaking aspect of me started. But that kind of came to a close after the advent of the 5ESS, or the out-of-band supervision mode for telephone calls being placed. 2600 hertz tones would no longer reset the system. MF tones wouldn't do anything anymore either because everything is now being done digitally.
Yeah.
So I kind of threw that out the window. There was a resurgence of people that were interested in this just for educational and historical purposes, and it's called the MF Project. It's a part of CNET. Are you familiar with CNET?
A little bit, but for our listeners at home, you should definitely.
The C stands for collectors, and that is a network, and these are a bunch of people that collect phones and also collects old switches, like step-by-step switches, which is the original mechanical clacky-clacky-clacky phone systems that when you dialed the rotary phone at the central office, it would be literally all these mechanical things making noise, connecting your call to the person you're dialing. And that's a step-by-step. And then there's a Crossbar 5, and then the 5ESS. And these people in Telephone Collectors International, TCI, and with CNET, they're kind of back-to-back. TCI collects antique telephones and telephones of interest, and people on CNET have set up their own VoIP network across the world. We've got our own area codes, our own exchanges, our own phone numbers, and it's totally free. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's nasty, man.
So nowadays, and there was a gentleman just recently on the Off the Hook, mm-hmm. talking about the Asterisk, which is a...
it's a free open source PBX.
Open source is the word I was stumbling on. Open source PBX. And if you set up a Asterisk on a Linux server at home and you get yourself a couple ATAs, that's an analog telephone adapter allowing you to plug any phone into basically your network or your RJ45 Ethernet network. It can interface with Asterisk running on your Linux server. Well, that's great if you want someone in your kitchen to dial downstairs or someone in the bedroom to conference in a call with someone in the basement.
Yeah.
What do you want to do when you want to get to the outside world? Well, if you've got all these phones, you can go to CNET. And CNET can light you right up, and you can dial all these crazy phone numbers and dial people who've got phones all over their house, switches in their house. They've got interfaces that go to the old step-by-step switches in some of them.
That's cool.
It's really neat stuff. And when I started looking into this stuff, because I was missing the days of having fun with a phone. I mean, I don't even use a computer to dial out anymore. It's all internet now.
Yeah.
I was being kind of reminiscent. I was wondering what happened to all those people that I used to talk to and on the party lines and everything. So I started doing some digging, and I found an application that's out there for the Android phone called the Phone Losers of America Red Box and the Phone Losers of America Blue Box applications. They're free to download.
Okay.
And the Blue Box, as you know, it gives you a 2600 hertz tone and MF to dial.
Yeah.
And the Red Box is the one that simulates the sounds of the coins being put into the payphone to allow you to make free long distance or local calls on a payphone.
Yeah.
And I saw those two applications. I still got them on my phone today, and they're very cool. And I'm like, who's this Phone Losers of America? Well, that's a rabbit hole I went down. And that's where I came across the Snowplow Show, which is being done by Brad Carter.
Hi, I'm here to interrupt things again. So, Radio Wonderland, he's wondering, because he has his equipment, are we rebroadcasting what he's broadcasting, or is he supposed to be here for the 10:30
sidebar? For the 10:30, he's supposed to be... I can go talk to him. Do you know where the rest of the PLA guys are supposed to be?
That's the thing. I'm all unfortunately confused with that. That's the only one that I've, lost control of. So I apologize. Because I think they're all spread around everywhere, unfortunately. I've been messaging them, and it's been insane, so I apologize for that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me trade you. You want to talk with...
Yeah. I know we're going to have people start coming in at 4, so yes.
Who's coming in at 4?
Bunch of random stuff. We're going to have some of the biohacker people.
Okay.
At 4 p.m.?
Has already agreed that he's going to share it with 2
How are you planning on getting Brad Carter on this program?
You had a plan for that, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to do that plan now?
I can try to. At worst, I can do it at 11:30 tomorrow, but I'm going to try.
Okay. Well, cool. Here, have yourself.
I can shoot the shit, so yeah.
Well, I hear there's a plan coming up, so you might be getting a call from Roy, New Mexico very soon. And our cacti are watching you. You got a mic right in front of your face already, right? On that headset.
Sorry, I'm not used to this one.
It's okay.
That's me. I'm always up to date on things. So, Radio Statler, we are notoriously good with plans.
It's okay. So we've been talking about 2600 meetings. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about all kinds of phone freaking stuff. We've been talking about history of bulletin board systems and dialing into X25 networks. And it all had to do with Brad Carter and the Snowplow Show with the Phone Losers of America, because this is what happens when you get a bunch of hackers together, as we start talking about stuff and it branches off in all these directions.
We have a bunch of hackers today. Just a smidge. Yes. So while I type into this, let me tell everyone what the original plan was. Eventually, I'm going to get Brad Carter on here. He's agreed to it because he actually has a milestone coming up that he wants to talk about. I'll tell you the headline, but he has way more details. The
500th episode of the Snowplow Show.
Yep, of the Snowplow Show.
Yeah.
AKA the Cactus Show, allegedly. And I do have a plan for that. Originally, it was going to be a Phone Losers thing, but unfortunately, I really wanted to schedule him later today. We have so much going on this afternoon that... It was a madhouse, so I picked it a time, and some people said they could probably do it, some people can't, and now everyone's scattered everywhere, but Brad did say so. I'm going to literally ask him now if he can come on. In the meantime, we're just going to talk about stuff.
Well, before you and tell him to come on now, how are you going to interface him with the...
So what we're going to do is that allegedly there is a phone, there's a audio, should be a normal audio jack plug in somewhere.
It's an RJ11 right over there.
Yes.
But there's no phone.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, here, which is funny because we actually do have an internal phone network spurred by Night Owl.
Yep.
And friends, Jack and I ran out this morning. Oh, okay. So he's going to try here. I'm going to message him in a moment. Yeah, so ironically, we don't have the internal phone in here, but we do have it right outside our booth. That's still technically our booth. It's just not in the recording station.
And how are you going to get him into your mixer?
So the idea is that, and if it's okay, if it doesn't work, we're going to either plug into my laptop or my phone, and I'm going to go through a program with that. If you give me I just want to make sure if he's available,
right.
And then we will try to proceed from there. It's only one of my two call-ins. The only other one will be during the Hacking the Naughty Bits segment, which is a sequel to basically, I had a Hacking Sex radio program on Sunday last year that
Ooh,
went really well.
I missed that.
And this year, we're having Kit Stubbs, who's doing an amazing talk about basically AMA about anything hacking sex. And we're going to have Miss Mayhem, who just did a talk about the Sessa Fosta dumb BS legislation running into that. And provided that, because I'm going to test it, that it works over call, we are going to bring in the people from Assembly 4. Have you heard of them?
Wow. Assembly 4, like in the legislative district?
Close. They are a group of sex workers from Australia that saw how bad the United States is. And, of course, they're worried about now other countries are probably going to start adopting this. So they started to make preventive measures against it. The first thing they made was Switter, which is a modified mastodon. It's actually one of the second or third most popular mastodon existence. It was made a week after the Festa Sosa thing, and it's essentially for everyone that got kicked off of Twitter and other social media for that. This is, since they own the servers in Australia, they get to advertise their stuff, they get to talk to their fans.
That's
and it's
the way
good.
To do it.
And they actually just recently launched. Okay, so you probably maybe heard, so one of the things that went down during Festa Sosa is Craigslist
yep.
and Backpage.
No personal ads allowed because they're afraid that there's going to be trafficking on there.
They remade it in a protective, where the servers are in a protective country.
That's the way to
do it. And they've made it even better, so it guarantees that the workers actually get paid for things. And I'll have them explain it on air. That's
wow.
their recent endeavor, and they keep hammering going on about. And the only reason I'm going to call in is because, one, they're stuck in Australia. They really wish they could be here. But that they, it just would feel, Kit is amazing, man, but it'd just be empty, I feel, without having at least them talk about some of the things of, like, what's actively going on
right now
directly from their mouth. So, yeah, so let me contact.
That sounds fantastic. So
yep.
now I can pay for my sex services with Bitcoin.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say change. Not that that would be a wrong thing.
What?
Or a bad thing.
Change what?
Your shirt.
Oh, there we go.
He's wearing a nice green, purple-blue
yes.
plaid shirt right now
purple,
for all the people
blue.
On the radio. Yeah.
Just green.
Well, there's, you know, plaid at cross sections.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
And then behind that amazing tool shirt, behind that shirt is a tool shirt among badges and other things.
Yes,
because
this is
the
PLA Con 2015 badge.
Yes,
for the
and
phone
I
losers
just
of America.
Realized something here that I'm going to quickly do, but yes, so.
Brad's been known to use Skype, too.
Yes, that's
so.
Exactly what I'm trying to get running right
there
now.
There you go.
Yep. I know. I can evolve and learn. So you've been here for a couple of cons around the scene. How's Hope going on so far for you?
It's actually a lot nicer than the last one, the most previous one.
Yeah.
They've enlarged the spaces for the conferences, which
yes.
has been actually really nice,
mm-hmm.
Because there were problems the last go-round. Where people couldn't get into some of the talks that they wanted to see because there was no more space. And they said the standing room was even full. So now they've made those rooms a little bit bigger where they could. They've added one on another floor, which is pretty awesome. And some of the vendors down here on the mezzanine are really remarkable.
So which vendors have been blowing your mind here recently?
There's an Arduino kit over there that really looks interesting for kids. And I think anything that's designed to stimulate the imagination of children so they realize that electronics aren't just something you go and pick up from the local Radio Shack. You can actually, well, that's kind of a dated response, isn't it? You can actually make your own stuff. If you can, it's all what you can think of in your brain, what you can create yourself. And a lot of the stuff that we refer to as hacking is actually now being referred to as makers and makerspaces.
Mm.
And I think that's a really good move. It's a positive message that just because, you know, curiosity should not be stepped on. Curiosity
Agreed.
Should be fostered. Take apart that toaster.
Yes.
When it's not plugged in, preferably.
Yes.
And see what makes it tick.
Yeah. because it's always amazing, like, how much, not even just in tech, but just in our lives, that we just take for granted. We just assume it's been there forever, and it just works due to magic pixie dust. But there's, you know, if it exists, either a human has built it, or it's gone through a process of evolution and tinkering, even just in nature, so.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of stories that go around, whether they're true or not, they're interesting, that explain the reason why we drive on the right side of the road in this country and the left in Britain, and why roads and cars are a certain width. And it's very interesting to know the history of a lot of the stuff, whether it's true or not, because a lot of our modern-day electronics are based on stuff from very old, from transistors or even before that, tubes or valves. And that is what shaped what we are today.
Basically, I mean, and what's also crazy about being shaped our day is that it's amazing the amount of resources that kids have, as a slow reveal. Also, perfect, because I was just about to go out there and ask you for some assistance, Beaches. But no, like, what I'm amazed about is I'm glad that kids are getting all this access now instead of, like, I mean, you know, it's always good to be curious and just take parts, like, apart vacuum cleaners and stuff in your own house.
Right.
I'm definitely for that.
Absolutely.
I'm just glad that now there's an actual, like, push for that sort of education.
Yeah, and there's
now
safe space to do that in. You know, I can't afford a 3D printer in my house. I don't have the space for it. I don't have the money for it. But these maker spaces, yeah, they've got them. It's kind of, it's a co-op.
So, crazy thing about me, I actually didn't learn soldering until way later in life. I was 22. And the reason why I didn't before then is because every circuit that I owned was something that I used, so I never had, like, a test circuit to practice on.
Right.
And now they legit make stuff just for that. You know, you get to build Arduinos and Raspberry Pis and all sorts of equipment. Beaches, when you get...
Yeah, one of the things I've been finding really remarkable this year over previous years for Hope is I'm seeing a lot more young kids.
Yes.
I mean, really young kids.
Yes. All the people who thought that they were absolutely dateless are now coming in with multiple kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And their partners.
It's absolutely amazing. I'm moving to Lockport Village. I'm seeing youngsters that, you know, can't even complete full sentences just yet, yep, playing with lockpicks.
And speaking of youngsters, let me look for it here. At 10 p.m. at Ritchie, which is on the lower level downstairs, there's actually going to be a talk called Inspiring the Next Generation of Hackers, run by two
Cheshire.
run by two awesome kids, including our favorite one that we love, Bia.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I thought that was the, you know what, I'm getting mixed up with the Growing the Next Generation of Hackers being done by Richard Cheshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing before. But yeah, we actually have kid presenters, not just part of a group, like, they're doing their own panel.
That's really incredible.
And as everything goes to plan, I believe at 12:30, let me double check here. Yep, at 12:30, we are bringing them and a couple of other kids down here for even more one-on-one. And Sandy, and the best part is that they all get to be the adults in the room.
That's neat. Are you keeping an eye on the IRC channel?
So my crazy thing is I'm always, like, reconfigured every year. I remember Beaches, I think, was checking on his phone.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to destroy things here. So unfortunately, I don't have it visible now, and I'm afraid to destroy all these windows, but we will get to it eventually.
And we do have a phone line that you can call in on with your questions, but there's no phone attached to it. So you're out of luck. We're gonna just have to guess what you're thinking.
Although, which I might steal from him if I can pour out another segment, at 8 p.m., we're going to have an interesting talk from a fella who, which is why I want to get this set up, who it's about CFAA from both a hacker and lawyer perspective. So it's about the legal reasons as well as the mechanics behind it. And he, if we can do everything right, is actually has configured his laptop to take live calls during it because he has a bit of a following.
That's very cool.
And maybe I will steal that laptop so we could use it for future uses. So what I'm going to do here is...
I went to an interesting seminar, one of those free seminars you always get and you never really go to because it looks commercial.
Mm-hmm.
This one wasn't very commercial. This one was specifically about the legal pitfalls of wearable electronics. I was the only person in the room who wasn't a lawyer. They're all interested in this stuff. And we're talking about Fitbits that track your movement and where you're going to your iPhone, which if you don't know it, even when it's turned off, kind of figures out where it is and uploads to the mothership when you turn it back on.
Are you going to go to the QueerCon meetup later today?
Yeah, at 5 o'clock.
Awesome, yeah. Ironically enough, and I am listening to this, I'm going to attend a bit of that too. I'm going to grab someone real quick, and I was curious if in that little bit of time, it'll be like 1 minute, if you could actually explain, even though I'm going to have some of them on later, about the QueerCon meetup and kind of what is QueerCon. It sounds like it might be gay.
Well, it kind of is, but it's not.
Well, you could take that away and explain what's the shenanigans going on.
Alrighty. The QueerCon NYC is going to be having several get-togethers, and QueerCon actually meets at multiple conferences around the world, I believe. And they represent all the letters, LGBTQA, the whole nine yards. And
It should be this thing.
Oops, we got more people in here now.
Wonderful.
Oh, look at that.
So you should be able to plug
right
that.
Right here the entire
so,
time.
Yeah, that does work.
Some technical issues going on here, but anyways, one of the things I've noticed as the gay and lesbian bisexual community has been more and more accepted, we've grown as far as who we consider part of our circle. We're pretty much everybody now, because we have gays, lesbians, bisexual, transgendered, and our supporters are in there too. I think the only people that are actually being stonewalled now are the haters, and I think that's pretty cool. I really do.
So I do know there's going to be two things tonight. So there's going to be a dinner meetup from 5 to 7, and then everyone's going to try to go to some crazy club afterwards. Cool. I think about 8 or something.
I just know to show up at 5 p.m. At registration.
Yep. And one of the things I'm curious about, because their website led into question marks, is there actually might be stuff on Saturday and Sunday, but we're going to find out that in a bit. So if you can pull up with me, I'm actually going to test doing the calling in now.
Sure.
And we'll see how this goes. And if not, you get to see how potentially bad I am with our actual system here. So this will be fun.
It's all right.
And hopefully my laptop, if it is going, is not going to be too loud.
And at the Hope Conference from 2 years ago, we also had a number of GLBT meetups up on the fourth track, which is really fun.
So while I set it up real quick, and I apologize if it interrupts at some point, we have workshops, we've had panels, and if you've seen any, what's been your favorite so far?
Haven't done any of the panels yet.
Is there any particular one you're excited for?
There's a number of them that I'm always excited about. Unfortunately, one of them's happening right now. It is Crossing the Border in the Age of Trump.
Ah, yes.
And that I'm going to have to go back and watch that now.
I apologize.
It's all right. You know, it's one of the problems with this conference is there's just so much going on at the same time.
I think I'm pretty much not going to see a talk until Saturday, because we're the same way, where it's just been so jam-packed.
Absolutely. It's just there's so much here. And the actual talks are really fantastic. The last time I was here, I went to a lot of them. I had gone back-to-back for 4 hours to one set of them that stayed in the same room. And they were just fascinating. However, it's important to know that they're not only being simulcast and broadcast on the internet now, they're also going to be available for viewing for free after the con's over. So take advantage. If you're at Hope right now, take advantage of actually meeting people face-to-face and networking. That's the best thing you can do. You can watch these panels later if you want, but you can't meet these people and make those introductions later. And take some time out and go down and find somebody that interests you and ask them what's exciting right now in your life. What are you looking forward to over the next 10 years in technology? Ask questions about the products in the mezzanine and at the spaces there. Ask somebody, what are you doing on that laptop? Wait a minute, is that my driver's license?
or just show up and hand them a beer or a water and ask them how their day's going.
That's a great idea too, because there is issues with hydration here. This is a very exciting place to be, especially if you are a hacker or a creative person or a maker or whatever you want to call yourself, because you will forget to eat. You will forget to drink. You will forget to sleep. This thing is so much energy, and with all the Club Mate flowing, people don't realize that the sun's gone around the earth
a couple
times.
Among other things we won't mention on air.
Oh, we don't? Sorry.
It's okay. Now, I'm going to violate that later on Saturday. So, just an update what's going on. We do have Brad, and I'm going to attempt to call in. I figured out what exactly the problem is so far, and it's simply that I basically have security on my browser too good, so I'm disabling a setting to see if we can actually get the audio through for that.
All right.
So we're just going to talk a bit more stuff in the meantime.
That's
unfortunately.
Cool. If you can get him online, and you can get him on the radio, he can add more people. He's got... The Situation Room has got some incredible resources.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, no pressure, Brad, if you're listening to this, but if you are going to be on air and you can do conference calling, maybe a live prank or two would be an amazing thing to watch.
One of his...
or listen to, I'm sorry, we're on radio.
Right.
I can't think today.
You're thinking YouTube.
I have been dumb.
There's a camera watching us. I don't
the
know
NSA
what's up with
is
that.
Making sure we're all being behaved here. So.
Yeah, that's right.
You can read all my passwords and everything.
So, yeah, if you get a phone call and the caller ID has the phone number 420-6969, that's probably Brad. So... So, for those of you who have not listened to the Snowplow Show, it's available on podcast. It's available on YouTube sometimes. Sometimes it's on Mixlr. It depends on his mood and depends on what the material is going to be.
That sounds like Brad.
Yay.
That's kind of basically how Phone Loser started. It was him and...
Carlito,
yeah.
Yeah.
And all of them basically just really bored one day and being like, hey, you know, you know, we've been doing all this stuff. We should probably put it on these interwebs. And two, to be honest, we had a lot of groups cropping up, particularly in the late 80s, who were, you know, Legion of Doom, Master of Deception, where it was very like...
Right.
It's kind of similar to some of the Darknet stuff now, where it's, you know, you have to have membership in, like, levels, and you have to, like, hack this to prove yourself and bestow information. And we kind of all thought that was dumb. So Brad kind of, and friends kind of created an online magazine that would kind of poke fun at that. In fact, if I remember correctly, one of the first articles in that magazine, that zine, as they called them back in the day, was how to hack a computer, and it was literally a tutorial of how to use a fire hatchet to break apart a computer system. And you know, you would think people would get kicked off of file sharing sites for that, but actually, apparently, everyone was amused by that, and you just keep going and going and. Now that I think about it, that's actually a great way to describe Radio Statler. It is a, sorry, not Radio Statler. I'm getting all mixed up today. Once 8 p.m. starts, I'll be good. That's actually a great way to describe PLA, was that it was kind of a funny in-joke that just ended up becoming horribly, horribly, like,
It changed.
It changed,
It originally was pretty serious about hacking and freaking and all that stuff, and it turned more into the, okay, what can we do with this? And it's like, oh, look, we can spoof caller ID and we can make prank calls. And we kind of... There's nothing wrong with that either.
Yep.
On an interesting side note, I don't know how I came across it or where it came from, but the first time I ever heard one of Brad's prank calls was one of the tenants from Hell's. And I got an MP3 from a friend of mine. He was talking about putting sand down his toilet because they had too much when they filled the apartment with 5 inches of sand all the way over. And I thought it was Rob T. Firefly. The voice was so similar, audio speaking.
It's hilarious because I would say that Phone Losers, to some degree, are kind of like ninjas, where there's so many stories that... that are applied to ninjas. So instead of trying to curate the narrative, it's just, no, we're just gonna, yeah, we did that. That's our thing. If you think we did that, we did that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just keep that mythology alive.
And stop giving me snake eyes.
Okay, so I think we actually have something going here. Again, ironically, I basically made my computer system so secure that there was just difficulties of certain things going through, so we're gonna test one method and do that. I'd actually, on the radio, what would be your number one question to ask Brad when we get him on?
Oh my goodness. We gotta get the IRC asked people that don't know his stuff.
Yes, which I'm also actually halfway working in on that.
I'm a loyal listener to the Phone Plow Show. I'm a supporter. I'm on the Patreon. Oh, probably shouldn't mention that either, probably.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Your social security number is?
Yes, 872. Oh, wait, and that was a trick question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's
try this.
I listen to everything he does, at least from the point I started forward. And he is one of the most interesting people when it comes to giving people reassurances that I am who I say I am. Well, I'm a Christian, of course I wouldn't lie.
Christians never lie.
Is this a prank call? Well, no, this is serious. I'm a Christian, I don't lie.
Okay, it might be a little loud at first, but we're all trying right. This. I'm doing this on the phone first because my laptop's a little slow. So we're ringing right now.
All right.
Redbox, pick up. We are ringing you now.
Calling the Situation Room in Roy, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you get the 184 book? I'm here from the other central office.
We're seeing a problem with your computer system, and we need to go in the back room and flip all the switches, please.
Yep. That was an attempt. Let's try that again.
Are you getting the TCI?
Up.
Oh, oh, there you go.
Hello. Ahoy. Speak, Brad. Can you hear us?
Yeah. I can't hear him yet.
Okay. Because, like, my phone information is coming up. Let's try... I'm trying to remember which setting.
If your phone information is coming up, maybe he's spoofing your number. Put some... put the Dog on the Moon music on in the background or something so we have a level.
It sucks because originally I had the files. I was originally going to introduce this with the opening to PLA Radio for a while where we tricked a ton of people... voice actors to say the word cactus as
yes.
a fake audition
cactus.
And then stitch that together. And
you worked on that?
Dying on that. Didn't work on that directly, but I got to see the progress of
okay.
that using the forums and stuff. My whole thing that I kind of remember is the phone mobbing that got invented. Do you mind detailing for everyone what exactly that is as I try to work this?
Are you talking about on Facebook?
No, where we actually like called in to shows that for some reason had mass, like public number where mass people could call in, and who knows that you could actually abuse that.
That is, I don't know that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's probably before I started listening.
Wow, interesting. I will actually explain that in a moment. I'm probably actually going to run over and get some help now.
The mobbing I'm used to is where we basically pick a page on Facebook, a commercial entity, and we will write crazy reviews and give them 5 stars out of 5 because they have the best sized glory holes in the bathroom, or because their food only had 10% fecal matter, which was a nice change from the usual.
Oh,
we have more technicians in here today.
We will just have some technical difficulties, and then we will have some difficult technical things.
Lately, Brad's been on a kick about doing cakes for his dog.
We'll have some technicals. Yep.
So he calls up the bakery, wants to get an 8-inch round chocolate cake with fudge filling for his dog. Which is not a good thing for a dog. And then getting the reaction from the baker.
No. Brad, keep talking, and we should eventually hear you.
I hear some singing.
Beautiful beaches,
you?
Yeah.
Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, you know what?
Now, are they hearing that or are they hearing this?
I think they're hearing the fun space noise. And also that.
Okay.
That actually is this guy.
Okay. We're getting there. Because for some reason I remember the board every year, except for the actual patching for the audio inline every year.
Labeled, of course.
Yes, you know, because Rayo Statler are like, fuck labels.
We have some stuff like
that. I know.
The headset, console.
Yeah. Glad we're troubleshooting now.
Still.
Yep, he's there. I have it halfway volume, so any sort of thing should be able to trigger that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to trigger our RBCP. That's always the goal at Phone Loops, is to try to trigger RBCP. Yeah. So I think what he's hearing right now is I think he can hear stuff through here. It's not coming through my... And this will work. I've done this sort of thing before with just my phone. I would do the laptop, it's slow. Yes, that should be this headset.
Yeah, that's the headset.
Yep.
One.
Welcome to behind the scenes of Radio Statler.
That's right.
Yep. We excel in transparency. I live at... But yeah, so I guess I'll preview this coming up. Just taking a little bit of break from Brad. Trust me, we're getting to Brad. Yeah, they're hearing through the microphone, not through the radio stuff. Once it clicks, it will go through. Trust me, there's no way you can mistake from hearing it.
Yeah, I think he's holding an iPhone up to a microphone. That's
no,
how
it's
we're doing this.
Not an iPhone. It's worse. But I will preview that. One of the things I get to see you at occasionally, and we've kind of restructured, we're having another meeting again in August, is there's an. Hate to betray 2600 like this, but we now have a DEF CON group out in New Jersey.
That's right.
Yes.
And you got a new home now.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
We moved it to Jersey City, closer to where we actually live, and it's actually right on the Journal Square stop.
That's very convenient compared to where you used to meet.
I know. That was, I mean, there were, it was a convenient hacker space. They were really nice to us. But just when we had this thing, it's at a cafe. They, crazy thing that, I don't know if you, so when we had our first meeting at the new place, they literally give us the keys to the place.
There you go.
So we can literally be there as long as we want. Security already knows about it, as long as we lock the place up. They leave out coffee and food for us. We have the inside and the outside. It's just a really sweet deal. Parking's always a problem. Parking's always a problem in Jersey City, regardless.
Always, yeah, absolutely.
There's a parking lot. I just can't remember how much they charge for and things like that. But we do that there. So it's similar to, if you've ever been to a 2600 group, which is a local meetup of computer hackers, where you kind of just, you know, sometimes there's talks. A lot of times it's just people talking about, like, you know, what they're working on, their lives and theories and arguments. This is similar to that, but it's just a DEF CON kind of branded.
Well, I've come to a couple of your gatherings. In fact, the one you had about buffer stack overflow execution with web servers was amazing.
Yeah,
and what you had, like 24 people in that room?
Yeah, that was our 1-year anniversary, if I remember correctly.
That was incredible.
Yes.
And the lessons that were being taught, yeah, they were kind of specific and they were for only one kind of system. But you know what? It was the theory behind it that makes you really think.
Yes.
And it's exactly the kind of stuff I go to these things for.
Yep. And I'm going to make a phone call. Okay, cool.
His phone solved everything.
Neat. Basically, Brad, I'm going to attempt, I just saved some time, I'm going to attempt to hang up and I'm going to call you back in a little bit. I'm sorry to be wasting your time right now. It's just, you know, Rio Statler, everything works. It's usually my fault. So I'm just going to hang up briefly, just save some timing here, not now. We do meet up, and the usual thing is we kind of hang out a bit in the beginning. And then, actually, I'm going to try a different thing now. Kind of meet up in the beginning. And, wow, this thing is... Here's some innuendo. This thing is really loose going into my laptop.
Oh.
It's
been used a lot.
Yes. Well, not the laptop, this connector. Because when I put my headphones in, I'm wearing around my neck. See, I have two phones.
Yep.
It, like, clicks in. But, yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah, the only problem I've ever had with DEF CON 201 is the date it's on. And
I know.
I tend to travel a lot. I think you guys are on the first, not first Friday.
Third Friday of every month. Technically, we're supposed to have one today, but we're kind of shuffling some things around.
But
so.
See, it's and you're here.
Yeah.
It's tough. There's always things on.
Well, the big problem is the chiptune concert and the fact that QueerCon kind of is doing a bunch of meetings. So we might have an impromptu thing tomorrow, but stay tuned for a little bit later today for that.
And speaking of DEF CON 201, I haven't seen G.I. Jack around.
Oh, he's coming.
He better be.
He's coming.
Okay.
When I left, believe it or not, he was asleep. Yes, he actually sleeps.
No.
Yes.
It's a dirty room. You take it back.
Oh, no. I've seen way dirtier things about him, unfortunately. Unfortunately, for all the ladies out there and children. No.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, welcome to me. No, he'll be here. In fact, as I've been blabbing about a lot, that's definitely not working. That's laptop function for mine that's not working, so the phone will definitely be it. One of the things that I'm constantly promoting, if you go to radio.hope.net, we have the schedule, convenient lists are under schedule. And the thing that I'm most, one of the things I'm most excited about, because I'm excited about a lot of things at Hope, but I'm really excited about, and yet dreading, because I know what it's been like previous years, is there's a listing at 11:30 p.m. called Side Pocket Speaker Roundup, Mattis, Pulse Decay, Alt-Right Trolls, and Booze.
Ooh.
Now, what I've been doing throughout the con, we've had a couple of these so far, is that I've been trying to get, like, just speakers rounded up here. They're highly excited and interested. It's just everyone's just been bouncing around. We've had a couple today. It's been good. But the special one at 11:30, I'm going to have them there. There's going to be a lot of people talking about it. We have a lot of talks about, like, how, like, alt-right groups manipulate information, like, about the elections.
They manipulate information?
Yeah. I mean, well, everyone manipulates information.
But they tell me that the lefties do that.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So which are they both true?
Here's how I've put in. I'm probably going to cheese off everyone in IRC, and actually I'm going to log into that, finish logging into that right now. I'm actually already in. That should be it. I'll do a different one. Yep, here we are. Yeah, I can see the IRC now.
You hear that strange noise that sounds like foam core rubbing against foam core.
It's foam core rubbing against foam core.
That's our door.
That's our amazing door.
You really need to see this room. It's quite amazing what you've pulled off in all of, like, the 10 minutes you put it together.
Outside of this, it's been like a well-oiled machine, except for this audio jacking cable.
It's Brad, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's his fault.
Thanks a lot, RBCP. You ruined another...
It's another Chad.
Radio slow.
Chad, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Chad, Brad.
For another... We're another radio show. Yeah, I can
hear
it.
There we go. We got some music now.
Yep.
Okay, so...
ooh, I'm going to dance.
Got the console, the laptop.
Okay. Not gonna work? Okay.
Is that the music on hold?
Would that be any voice thing?
Because
I'm not doing a phone call. This is so dirty secret, because Brad asked for this besides Skype, just because Skype's actually giving me trouble right now. It's actually the Facebook call.
If you could maybe do it from your computer, that might be.
Okay, that's what I've been trying to do.
But I don't know what you would do for audio for him, for talking.
Okay. That's fine. I think he's tuned into the station.
We hope
so.
He is.
So there'll be some delay.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, no, because I already prepped them for that. It's more of what my issue right now. Essentially, I've been trying to try out. I have so many security functions that. Yeah.
Let me introduce you to a little something called Windows, and you can get rid of all those pesky security problems.
I know. I used to. In fact, you can add a bunch of new ones.
All right.
So, yeah, we'll keep trying. Don't worry. Yeah. I have a lot to talk about. And if, like I said, anyone meets out there, gonna think we have a couple of about 4:30, including T-Profit. Just send them on in. But what were you doing about before this? Oh, yeah, so I'm dreading this because, so for those who have not been to Hope, the hardest days... so Sunday, there's stuff going on. In fact, there's a lot of stuff going on Sunday. Like, this is... when I personally saw the scheduling, because I know that I bring a bunch of people who are speaking and doing workshops and projects down here, I, in a good way, wanted to throw my laptop out the window because I could not believe how much content there is this year from all over the place.
We have
a chiptune concert that's evolved way beyond a chiptune concert. It's evolving all sorts of audio exploits.
We've got Hackers Got Talent.
Yes, we have the Spelling Bee. I can't believe there's going to be an actual Spelling Bee.
I'm very curious to see what that's going to be.
I'm
sure it's going
to
be interesting.
To be. Ha, yeah. I see what you did there.
Ah.
Fry squint.
You were mentioning the online schedule for Hope, too.
Yes.
And Cheshire actually set up something really nice for those who are actually here, and they've got a mobile, and it's like, wait a minute, this grid thing is designed for looking at it on a large screen. He's made a mobile site for the schedule, and it's really great, and it's H12 dot Mobi. So it's like Hope
12.
The 12th Hope, which H12 dot Mobi, and it's a mobile site for the Hope schedule. And it works better with your phone. And if you've got one of those old phones that doesn't have a proper browser,
it'll actually load in correctly.
It loads right, and you can use your number pad to scroll through stuff. So it's really nice.
That's been something I've been struggling with because we've gone through three different websites so far for DEF CON 201. And we are actually on our way to making what we think is going to be the final one for a while. Sterosil, aka Tyler, who's going to be on later at Radio Statler, is making it, and it's really amazing. Get this bit of tidbit. So... the new version of the website, which should be out in August, not only does it fully function as a website, but if you hit the print function on our website, like you try print from browser, it prints out whatever you want to print out. And in addition, as an option, it can also print out the flyers that we hang out and or a brochure that explains what our group's about that you could actually fold into three and hand out or just have on you as a digital file.
I'd be curious to know how you got an interrupt for the print screen key to do that.
I will bring Tyler on later, and he'll probably explain all of that.
Wait a minute. This means I'm going to have to turn scripting on now, probably, doesn't it? Because you were so proud that you didn't use any JavaScript on your last
Believe it
page.
Or not, no. Actually, that doesn't use that because we've tested that. So it should load with no script.
Well,
yeah.
Now I'm curious.
It's using all HTML and CSS, if I remember correctly. So, yep.
Interesting.
It's crazy stuff. I looked at it and I thought I was looking at Python code. Like, it's that nuts.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's. I look forward to seeing that.
Yes. And just give me
the DEF CON 201 website now with 10% more cross scripting.
Yes. And that website, by the way, is DEF CON, DEFCON 201 .org.
That's right.
Yep. And so kind of backtracking on that, yes, we are in Jersey City now, and we have kind of the run of the place. We do a lot of stuff outside of Jersey City. I'm not going to explain a lot because we're actually going to be talking about that definitively at 6:30 p.m. later today. That's why I was bringing it up. We're actually going to have a bunch of us here and stuff like that to talk about it. Here we go. The crazy thing that we're going to resume talking about is that, so Jersey City is pretty crazy in that they're actually very tech-savvy and tech-forward thinking. So it's not 100% confirmed yet, but what we've been working on is we are actually setting up, we're going to try to attempt to set up a mesh network for Jersey City, primarily for emergency communication centers.
I heard about this.
And then we're hopefully going to spin that off into, because we have so much dark fiber, our own municipal Wi-Fi for the city that is completely, like, locally controlled and everything. Yes? Okay,
A mesh network would be really impressive to have a workaround from what a lot of the cable companies are doing.
Oh, yes. Because that's the whole thing, because we have to, I'll bring up later, but there's actually an entire website that is dedicated to, you want dark fiber in your neighborhood, here's the talking points, here's what to look at. We've been using it as gospel. And the crazy part is, because you have to explain, look, we're not trying to, I personally love to, but it's like, we're not trying to kick Verizon out. We're just giving another option. And again,
and you need those options.
Apparently, we're supposed to be a capitalist nation. Technically, the more options you have, the more competition, the better it is for your economy.
Still don't know why Google has pulled out from their Google Fiber project.
Yes.
Don't know.
I was flabbergasted when they X'd XMPP.
Yep.
So, I was like, I thought that was like one of the main, like, everyone connects through that.
It's just strange, some of the directions some things are going in lately.
And that's exactly why it's important to have Hackers on Planet Earth and other conventions, because, you know, you would think we would say this once and, like, everyone would kind of, like, try to keep that spirit. But no, like, we have to remind people constantly about their entire tech environment.
And there's a lot of people out there who are in a very comfortable place with their cable TV and are happy paying $230 a month for 100 megabit per second internet. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's crazy. I cut my cable back in August. April. And I've been really, really happy with it. And I can't really go into brand names right now. There's a plethora of choices that people can go with. Mm-hmm. And I ended up moving over to the one and only fiber carrier in New York City for consumers. And I've got gigabit. And I'm paying just over $100, including tax, per month for a gigabit connection. You can do a lot with a gigabit in your own personal house. You can stream TV, you can stream movies, and you know what? Even if you cut the cord and you don't watch TV, that's even a better thing, because it's a big distraction and there's a lot going on.
There's a bunch of people who are like 22 or like and under being like, TV, what's that?
Exactly. There's a lot happening in the real world right now. And
yep. And speaking of which, while my connection's very slow, again, I do have the IRC running now on my laptop. There we go. Interesting. Okay, so this does work. If you have a question on here for us, please ask. So I will mention to Brad that, can he come in there?
Yeah. Are you ready for Tea Prophet?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm going to keep him, so basically we're going to have Tea Prophet in the room for a bit, and then at some point, because now I have a solution, we will pretty much get Brad the air.
Well, you know what they say about solutions.
Yep.
If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate.
Yep.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Now, a lot of people think hackers and hope, and it's all about breaking into computers and causing damage or getting stuff for free. You know, it's not about that. In fact, if you take a look at that, if you listen to Off the Hook, if you read 2600 Magazine, if you go to 2600 Meetings, and if you come to Hope, you'll find out a lot of this has to do with your privacy, mm-hmm. what companies are doing to you, the information they're collecting on you, what they're doing with it.
Yep.
And not just companies, but governments too. And it's a scary thing. And, you know, if you go to, what's his name? Rambam, Stephen Rambam's,
yep.
3-hour, thing. It's quite detailed, and you leave there and you want to put a tinfoil hat on.
So all of our mics should be on, but if you can test speak directly into the microphone.
Meow.
There we go.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah.
This is honestly the first time that, in my personal experience, where we've had the mics, and it's not like, speak now, and I have to fiddle with the console for an hour. So bravo to the rest of the team.
We disconnected the console and put all the mics on. That's why you hear all that background noise.
Yeah, Radio Statler is doing awesome.
Thank you, that's nice to hear. Conference areas maybe
are doing less awesome, but, you know, it's just really tough getting hooked together.
Mm-hmm.